Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Money, the True Story of a Made-Up Thing by Jacob Goldstein is a non-fiction history of economics and finance that explains money as a human invention rather than a natural or fixed force. Drawing on Goldstein's background as a Planet Money host, the book uses a lively, accessible style to trace how societies have repeatedly redefined money, from shells, stones, and coins to paper currency, central banking, and digital forms such as Bitcoin. Its purpose is not to teach investing or personal finance, but to help readers understand why money works at all, because people believe in it, use it, and maintain systems around it. The book shows that monetary systems are shaped by politics, trust, technology, and institutional conflict, and that what seems normal in one era can later look arbitrary or even absurd. It is both an economic history and a corrective to common assumptions about value, stability, and financial reality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money as a shared fiction built on trust. Goldstein's central argument is that money has no intrinsic value on its own. It works because people collectively agree to treat it as money. This idea reframes money as a social convention, rather than a material object with built-in worth. The book repeatedly returns to the question of trust: who is trusted to issue money, what counts as acceptable payment, and why people accept one token of value over another. That perspective matters because it exposes the fragility of monetary systems. A currency can seem natural only because the surrounding society is committed to it, but that commitment can break down or shift. By emphasizing money as fiction, the book does not dismiss its usefulness. Instead, it explains why belief, institutions, and shared expectations are the real foundations of monetary life. Secondly, a fast-moving history from shells and stones to fiat currency, the book surveys the long evolution of money across different civilizations and eras, showing that there has never been one permanent form. Goldstein moves from early exchange media, such as shells and stones to coins, paper notes, bank money, and contemporary fiat systems. This historical range is important because it challenges the assumption that current money is the endpoint of progress. Each system emerged to solve practical problems in its own context, then eventually created new problems of its own. The book is especially interested in how money changed when states, merchants, and banks expanded the scale of exchange. Rather than presenting a tidy linear story, Goldstein highlights the recurring pattern of improvisation money is reinvented when old tools stop working. That makes the history useful not just as background, but as a way to see how contingent modern finance really is. Thirdly, why modern money depends on institutions and conflict. Goldstein argues that modern money is not self-sustaining. It requires active institutions such as central banks, governments, commercial banks, and markets. These institutions do not merely support money from the outside. They define how money is created, distributed, defended, and sometimes rescued. The book suggests that stable monetary systems depend on tension among different actors rather than on perfect agreement. Investors, bankers, regulators, activists, and officials all shape the rules, and that conflict is part of what keeps the system functioning. This is one of the book's strongest analytical points because it moves beyond simple stories about supply and demand. Money is shown as a political and institutional arrangement, not just an economic mechanism. Readers come away with a clearer sense that monetary stability is always managed, negotiated, and vulnerable to dispute. Fourthly, creases, experiments, and the repeated reinvention of money. A major theme in the book is that monetary history is full of disruption, failure, and repair. Goldstein uses episodes such as currency experiments, the rise and fall of the gold standard, and financial crises to show how often societies have changed course when existing systems stopped working. These episodes are not side stories. They are the engine of the book's argument. They reveal that money is often most visible when it is under stress, because breakdown exposes the assumptions that usually stay hidden. The book's treatment of historical experiments makes a larger point: economic systems are not natural laws, but choices made under pressure. That is why the book can move from older monetary arrangements to events like the global financial crisis without losing coherence. Each case illustrates how societies improvise when confronted with instability and uncertainty. Lastly, Bitcoin and digital money as the latest challenge to old assumptions. The book ends by considering modern digital forms of money, especially Bitcoin, as part of the long history of monetary reinvention. Goldstein does not treat cryptocurrency as a break from history so much as another attempt to solve enduring problems of trust, transfer, and authority. By placing Bitcoin alongside earlier shifts from metal to paper and from paper to electronic systems, he shows that the debate is not whether money will change, but how and under whose control. This gives the reader a more disciplined way to think about digital currencies. Their importance lies less in hype than in the questions they raise about scarcity, public confidence, and the role of institutions. The book's treatment of Bitcoin is measured rather than promotional, making it useful for readers who want historical context instead of speculation. It connects present debates to a much older pattern of monetary reinvention. In conclusion, Money: The True Story of a Made-Up Thing is best suited for readers who want a clear, historically grounded explanation of how money actually works. Students of economics, general readers curious about financial history, and anyone trying to make sense of debates about fiat currency, central banking, or cryptocurrency will find it especially useful. Its main benefit is conceptual. It helps readers see money less as a stable object and more as a changing social system built on trust, institutions, and repeated compromise. That makes it a strong choice for people who want insight without technical complexity. Compared with denser academic histories, the book stands out for its accessibility, pace, and narrative range. Compared with personal finance books, it is less about how to use money and more about what money is. The result is a concise but thoughtful introduction to one of the most misunderstood parts of modern life, with enough historical breadth to change how readers think about everyday economic assumptions. If you would like to support Jacob Goldstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.